Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
Welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be joined by Terry Duncan. Terry Duncan is a serial entrepreneur and mass tort business practitioner. He got a CPA license and law degree, and today is a managing partner at Duncan Law Firm. In 2019, he launched the Mass Tort Institute, which helps lawyers more effectively evaluate and litigate legal claims. He is also the author of Mass Tort Secrets, the playbook for growing your mass tort business, which is an international bestseller. Terry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Seth. Excited to be here.
Our pleasure. Well, let's go back in time a little bit because you have an interesting background story. You did not start out as a lawyer or as an accountant or as a mass tort practitioner. I believe you had a video game distributorship.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about that. Just give us some background.
Try to make a long story very short. I got out of college in the mid-70s and went to work in the valve business and was in the sales and marketing arena, did really well as a salesperson. Back in those days, technology was starting to come along. The microchip had been discovered and a lot of things were happening. And I had always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I realized that the Japanese were creating a lot of the most popular video games at the time, other than Atari and Nolan Bushnell. And so I realized that the Japanese manufacturing companies were probably going to start bringing their games to the US. Rather, at the time, like Pac-Man was being manufactured by Midway, but it was designed by a company by the name of Namco. So in any event, I went to a trade show and met some people, tried to get a distributorship for some of the large Japanese companies at the time. I was declined, but I met two gentlemen who had the US distributorship for a company nobody had ever heard of. And that company was Nintendo. And so I got the franchise distribution rights for Texas 2 months before Donkey Kong came out. So in 1982, we sold $9.8 million worth of video games and made $2 million pre-tax. Uncle Sam took half of it, but officially was a millionaire at the age of 31 years old. So that's how I got started.
That is absolutely incredible and not the normal path to become a mass tort practitioner or litigator.
No, it's not.
So how did that transition into you becoming a CPA and an attorney?
So when I had my own business, the first thing that I realized was I started the business with $100,000 capital, which was pretty good amount of business in the early 80s, and then ultimately got a $500,000 line of credit at the bank. But in order to go, but Nintendo didn't give us any credit terms. You had to pay cash and then they would ship the games out. So fortunately, I'm really good with numbers, and I I was more important to be a great CFO than it was even to be a CEO at that time, because it was all about cash flow and getting games in and getting them out. So I realized that, you know, there's so many different facets to running a business, and obviously numbers are at the heart of it. Obviously you have to have a great team and execute. But so I realized I'd always loved numbers, and I just decided I wanted to go ahead finish my, I think at the time, 18 hours of accounting. And in order to be a CPA at that time, I think you had to have 24 hours of accounting. So I added 6 more hours and sat for the CPA exam and finished that up. And concurrent with that, I had realized that the law is so pervasive in everything in the world. Now there's so much information available to you on the internet and other sources. But back then, it was really hard to go just on the fly, get some information that you could use to your advantage. So I realized that although I didn't think I ever wanted to practice as an attorney, I wanted to go get the legal knowledge and background. So that's how I ended up starting out to get into the world I'm in today.
That makes a lot of fascinating sense. So then how did that go from, how did you get into the mass tort business?
So I actually, so this is actually a third career for me. The intermediate step for about 20, 25 years is I used my law and CPA and tax background, and I did family and business succession planning for many of the wealthiest families in the country. So I actually would come in and work with their advisors, and we would do a lot of the advanced estate planning and tax techniques that people utilize. So, you know, it was a great career and I love doing it. The cool thing is I got to see a lot of balance sheets and income statements of some of the healthiest, best run companies on the planet, which was exciting and fun to do. And then, you know, Frank at the time got somewhat tired of the travel. After TSA started coming in, it was hard to just walk up and jump on a plane and go where you want to go. And so decided to slow down a little bit, and then started actually investing some money in litigation finance about a little over 10 years ago. And that's what led me to actually putting my shingle out and being a mass tort attorney.
Okay. So how did you, because most attorneys, this is an area of law they don't practice. It's
correct.
A significant area of specialization that requires some unique, not only skill sets, but mindsets. So how did you even get the idea to invest in litigation financing? And what is that for our listeners and viewers who don't know?
Well, the first thing is, so litigation finance in the Wall Street world is basically an alternative investment. And one of the things that's attractive to investors in this arena is investing in lawsuits really, frankly, has no correlation to the stock markets, bond markets, or the general economy. And so investors like it because it's an alternative investment, where you can get some diversification relative to, you know, the general marketplace. So that's the first component. And then the second component is obviously, you know, being a lawyer and understanding what it would take to assess whether or not cases are valid and are ultimately going to monetize. You know, it helps to have the law background so you can do that assessment process. So that's why the litigation finance part was attractive back when I first got into this industry.
Absolutely. So to a consumer or another attorney, you mentioned it's an alternative investment. Can anyone just write a check and be a part of litigation finance? Where would you find this? And then what exactly does that mean? What were you investing in?
So it's a great question. I mean, there actually has been the fundamental answer is no, but. And the no, but is, frankly, a lot of hedge funds do invest in this industry. And there's, it's a large industry, but relative to the investment world, it's somewhat a specialty arena. But, you know, if you've got minimum 250, 500K you want to invest, you could actually go invest with a hedge fund that invests into this marketplace. There are some smaller shops that do take in some investment pools and place it out. So some of those are just one-off, knowing the right people who are doing it. But then the third alternative is we're actually getting ready to launch a mass tort investment fund. And so we think there will be something available to the general public sometime within the next year. In the short run, we're doing it with institutional capital, but we think that ultimately will open up to the general public. I think to your question about how do you know if it's a good case or not, quite candidly, it's pretty hard to as a layperson. That's why you really would want to be involved with experts who know how to assess these cases, these inventories.
That makes a lot of sense. So for, again, our folks who don't know, what is a mass tort? What is mass tort law?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's real confusion. First of all, this will get a grimace from everybody listening in. But, you know, all those commercials you see on TV or whatever, if you've been injured by whatever,
yep.
That's a mass tort.
So, burning down.
Yeah. So, I mean, to your core question, basically the distinction between a mass tort and a general lawsuit, or say it differently, as opposed to a class action occurs when you've got a situation where usually a defendant has done something that the world would think has injured a lot of people, but everybody's been injured the same way. So for instance, if they overcharge on a telephone bill, or if something occurred in a local area to everybody, then that's handled under a class action. The distinction with the mass tort is that actually in a mass tort situation, every case is an individual lawsuit. And the way ultimately a mass tort moves into this arena is there's a judiciary panel that monitors the cases that are filed in the federal court system. And if enough cases get filed around the country against a defendant in actions that look to be very similar around a particular product or medical device, et cetera, then this panel will certify it as what's called a multi-district litigation. And all that litigation, it gets controlled and managed by one federal judge, at least for an interim time period. So that's what constitutes a mass tort. It's everybody's been wronged potentially by the same defendant or defendants, but every case is unique in terms of if you've been injured, there may be a different degree of injury that you've received as opposed to somebody else.
Okay. And then what inspired you to start the Mass Tort Institute?
So my saga in the mass tort world, I've been at this for a little over 10 years now, and frankly, been successful through my career in the different things I've done. And I really felt that, and I don't think it's just the aging process, but I think I really felt that this was the hardest vertical that I've ever tried to be in and be successful at. And so it's been, frankly, a difficult journey. It's been a fun, rewarding journey, but there have been a lot of pieces to it. And you know, I kind of, the analogy I give to the mass tort world is it's very similar to making a movie. And what I mean by that is on the plaintiff side of the bar, you've got a lot of independent attorneys who basically have to come together and collaborate around, you know, finding the information and going out and frankly, trying to go after and prosecute a defendant for the wrongdoing. So it really does take a cottage village to be successful. Plus, there's an analogy to real estate development in that a mass tort can run anywhere from a minimum of 2 to 3 years to as many as 10 years. We've still got some mass torts that have been in existence for over a decade, and there's still cases that are being resolved with respect to those torts. Another one, take tobacco or asbestos and mesothelioma. Those have been around for 30 years, and there's still mesothelioma asbestos cases that are getting resolved as we speak. So it's a long ball game, and it takes a lot of knowledge and a lot of interaction with other people to be successful.
What are, obviously we don't want to share all of the secrets. We want people to go get the book. What are just a couple, tease us a little bit with some of the mass tort secrets that you've never shared before?
So great question. And to answer the first part of the question you asked that I didn't really complete was I wrote the book because I felt I wanted to share the information with others, help them maybe not get a few arrows in the back if they decide to venture into this, in this arena. And so basically there's three key things, to put in layperson terms, three key things you need to do to be successful as a mass tort attorney or as an investor in this space. One, select the best torts. Two, make sure you've got good compensable cases. And three, have an exit strategy. So specifically, I guess the ones I would really pick out if you were going to be a mass tort practicing attorney is, you really do need to hire, if you're not a numbers expert, you really need to hire one and make sure, because you need to go do forecasting and economic modeling over a 3, 4, 6, 7 year time period. And if you're not the numbers person, you need somebody who will do that. Second one I would mention would be to just absolutely make sure you're working with the best vendors in the marketplace. There are a lot of vendors that will come in and tell you they're going to do a lot of really great things for you, but it's somewhat caveat emptor. So you really need to be careful in the selection. And I guess the last secret is that really carefully select co-counsel. You can't do this by yourself. As an aside, we invested $5 million in a tort and worked all our cases up. And then I reached out to the defendants and they wouldn't even take my phone call. So I had to go find somebody who had a relationship and had negotiated with them previously in order to actually go successfully resolve that litigation. So if you think you're going to come in with, $500,000, $1 million and come be a big dog in this arena, frankly, you're not. You really need to go team up with the best leadership firms to be successful.
That makes a lot of sense. You mentioned challenges along the way. With all the success you've achieved, what's your biggest challenge now?
Like everybody else, enough hours in the day. The cool thing is we have so much opportunity. The pandemic has been horrific for society, but the mass tort world actually had its most successful year last year. There were huge lawsuits that were resolved, huge mass torts that resolved, some of them not completely, but anyway, people had banner years last year. And so it's just a matter of taking those successes and then building off of them. Creating the Mass Tort Institute really, frankly, has given me a lot more visibility. I spent my whole lifetime just kind of being over in the wings in the background. I've never been a front and center kind of guy. But I think I decided, since this is probably my swan song, I'm going to go ahead and get out there and try to share what I've learned with other people. My aunt is my mentor in life, and she ended up becoming the superintendent of the Houston Independent School District. And she ended up running a $1.6 billion enterprise, 35,000 employees. And early in my life, I didn't realize that she was my mentor in life, but I now absolutely know she is. But the point of my story is, she always taught me that education is a great equalizer. And so, and I fervently believe that. And so I felt I really wanted to put something in place to go help people continue to be well-educated, better educated, help themselves and help go do other things for other people.
Your passion's obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing now?
Just getting up every morning and dealing with really smart people and figuring out how to go make a difference. I've got some great, we're launching three new businesses as we speak. So all around this vertical, but we continue to focus on best practices and technology. It's really interesting. Lawyers, and I'll even include the AM 100 law firms, lawyers don't take the percentages of their budgets and invest it in technology to the extent that other major corporations do. And there are some large enterprises in the legal space. If you go look at, Apple, Google, et cetera, and you look at their R&D budgets, it'll be anywhere from 8 to 15% of their revenues. If you look at a law firm's income statement, you'll see 1 to 2%. And so I'm a real advocate of technology. And frankly, our industry is 8 to 10 years behind in technology. So that's a big passion I have. I really want to make sure we start shortening that cycle.
That makes a lot of sense. For our folks who are watching or listening and want to learn more, Where is the best place for them to go to get the book? And where is the best place for them to go to learn more about you?
So the book, the name of the book is Mass Torch Secrets. They actually can go get it at Amazon. If they want to put my name in as the search, it's an unusual spelling because it's D-U-N-K-E-N. So they could just Google Terry Duncan at Amazon or Mass Torch Secrets and grab the book. They can come to our website at www.masstorchinstitute.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Mass Torch Institute. And Twitter is Mass Torch Inst. I-N-S-T only. So,
all right. Well, we know your time is incredibly valuable. We greatly appreciate you spending some of it with us. This has been Seth Green for Sharkpreneur with Terry Duncan of Mass Torch Secrets and the Mass Torch Institute. Terry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Seth. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks everybody for watching or listening. We'll talk to you or see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Whiny Palooza podcast. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. While you are there, leave a review. I love to hear your feedback. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
This show has been produced by Market Domination, LLC. To discover how you can have your own show completely done for you and turn it into a real published book and become the authority in your marketplace, go to www.marketdominationllc.com/podcast offer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.